We begin today in Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. Colossians chapter 2, let's begin in verse 14. And as we begin, let's remember what Paul is doing here in this section. Paul is warning the church at Colossae about false teachers. And he goes into detail about what these false teachers were teaching. Part of their doctrine was Jewish. They were trying to bind the law of Moses on these Christians, but part of their false teaching was also from Greek philosophy. And so it was a strange mixture of those two elements, and they were, of course, trying to combine the Jewish part and the Greek part with the Christian part. And so, as Paul talks to these people in the church at Colossae, he first of all tells them that the true circumcision today in the church is baptism. That circumcision in a literal and in a physical sense was part of the law. But the true circumcision in a spiritual sense is when a person is baptized and his sins are forgiven. Now that's verses 11 through 13. Now here in verse 14, he plainly says that the law of Moses ended at the cross. So let's read verse 14 and talk about the words that we see in this verse. In Colossians 2, verse 14, Paul, as he talks about what Jesus did when he did die on the cross, says that he was blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Now let's go back to verse 14. Paul plainly says that the law ended. Notice that he says that when Jesus died on the cross, he was blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Now the Spirit inspired Moses to write the law of Moses, and of course he did that with his own hand, and so it was in his handwriting. Obviously, God, the Bible says, wrote the Ten Commandments in those tablets or tables of stone with the finger of God. But the Bible here is talking, of course, about the writing that primarily Moses did. Now, how do we know that the handwriting of ordinances here that Paul says was nailed to the cross refers to the law of Moses? Because he doesn't use the words law of Moses in verse 14. So how do we know that this is what he's talking about? Well, in the first place, the whole context here, before and after this, is about the law of Moses. In verses 11 through 13, he talks about circumcision. Circumcision was commanded by the law of Moses. And then in verse 16, he talks about such observances as meat and drink, holy days, the new moon, and the Sabbath days. All of those are Mosaic regulations and Mosaic observances. So there's no doubt about it that this law is the law of Moses. And notice what he says here as well. He describes this law as not only being the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, but he says which was contrary to us. Now let's think about these two expressions. The law of Moses, he says, was against us, and it was contrary to us. Now, God gave that law. So we have to look at what Paul is saying here and what he means by this, because we know that God did give that law. But there's a sense in which that law that was given by God is described here by Paul as being against us in some way and contrary to us in some way. Now, this is similar to what Peter said in Acts chapter 15, verse 10. He said, "Now, why do you tempt God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither we nor our fathers were able to bear?" Because the law of Moses had so many observances. It had so many commandments. It had so many restrictions and regulations that the Bible describes it here as that kind of law. The law of Moses had so many of these laws and regulations that it was contrary to the weakness of man, the sinfulness of man. The Bible says in Romans 8 verse 3 that the law of Moses was weak through the flesh, that is human flesh. And that is why in Hebrews chapter 8 verses 7 and 8, the Bible talks about this fault with that first covenant. But the Bible says here that it ended. And that, of course, is in keeping with so many other passages in the Bible. We said that the book of Colossians and the book of Ephesians are very similar in their structure and also in their contents. And in the book of Ephesians, you find that Paul talks about the law of Moses ending. In Ephesians 2, verse 15, he says, "Having abolished in his flesh the law of commandments contained in ordinances." The Bible says that Jesus abolished that law. Here the Bible says that he ended that law. And notice the three expressions here in Colossians 2, verse 14, that he uses to show that Christians are not under that law, that people are not under that law today. Now again, remember the circumstance here is that you have Christians. Some of these Christians came from Gentile backgrounds, and they had not read and did not know the law of Moses like these Jews did. And on the other hand, you had Jews in the church who had a deep background in the law of Moses, who knew those scriptures well, and some of those Jews were trying to bind the law of Moses on these Gentile members. So what does Paul say to this church at Colossae about the law of Moses? Well, he says in verse 14 that when Jesus died, he blotted out the handwriting. So think of handwriting and think of just wiping it out, erasing it, blotting out that handwriting. If you have handwriting today, let's suppose that you've written something with a pen or a pencil yourself and you want to just blot that out. You want to just erase or wipe that out. That is what God did. When Jesus died on the cross, that is what he did with that old law. Secondly, he says in the last part of verse 14 that he took it out of the way. Now, that obviously means that he removed it. If you take something out of the way, then it no longer applies. And thirdly, he says that when Jesus died, he nailed it to his cross. Notice, nailing it, that is, this handwriting of ordinances, this law that contained these regulations, he nailed that law to his cross. And what happened when someone was nailed to a cross? That person died. And so when Jesus died, the law died with him. So Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 is one of the plainest passages in the Bible showing that the law of Moses did come to an end. Now let's move on to verse 15. Paul continues by saying, "And having spoiled principalities and powers." The principalities and powers here are the powers of evil, the powers of darkness, the agents of Satan himself, as he used Jewish and Roman leaders to put Jesus to death. What did Jesus do? He spoiled them. That simply means that he overcame them. This is from a word which means to strip off, to spoil, to disarm. And so it's very interesting here that the Jews had their clubs and their swords, and the Romans certainly had their swords and all of their armor. They had all of this earthly power, and they used that strength to kill Jesus. But Jesus won the battle. When he died at their hands, he paid for the sins of the whole world. And of course, when he arose from the dead, he reversed the death that they caused him. He triumphed. Notice what it says. "And having spoiled these principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly." How? When he died on the cross. He made a show of those powers because the plan of God was fulfilled through what they were doing. But they didn't even know that. The Bible talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. And in verse 15, the Bible says that he triumphed. He overcame. He triumphed over them, these earthly powers, in it, that is, by the cross of Jesus Christ. That's the kind of wisdom that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that is above human wisdom. What man and what group of men could have thought up the plan for the Savior of the world to actually die for the sins of mankind by dying on the cross at the hands of wicked men? This goes beyond our comprehension, and it goes beyond any kind of human wisdom. In verse 16, then, Paul says this, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days." Now notice the word therefore. The word therefore tells us that Paul is concluding something here, and he is applying something from what he just said. And what he just said is in verse 14 in particular. He said, "The law has ended," verse 14. "Therefore," verse 16, "don't let anybody judge you for not keeping the law." And he even gets very specific here. He said, "Don't let anybody condemn you because you don't keep what the law of Moses says about meat and drink." Now, the law had rules about what Jews could eat and drink. It talked about unclean foods. But here, he's probably, in this context, talking about the food offerings and the drink offerings. Because what we find is that here in verse 16, he's talking about those public observances, and so that would fit well with the worship services that he's talking about in verse 16. Later in this chapter, he talks about the ordinances that they were being told to keep regarding eating and drinking. That's a little bit later. It seems here that he's talking about those offerings. But at any rate, I want you to notice what he says. He says, "Don't let anybody condemn you because you do not observe these holy days and new moons and Sabbath days." Now, the holy day refers to an annual, yearly festival like Passover, Pentecost, or the Feast of Tabernacles. The new moon was a monthly observance, and the Sabbath was a weekly observance. Now, this is a common way in the Bible of summarizing the regular worship observances of the Jews, the yearly, the monthly, and the weekly. For instance, notice these verses. Hosea chapter 2, verse 11. "I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days," there's the yearly, "her new moons," there's the monthly, "and her Sabbaths," there is the weekly. In Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 33, the Bible talks about the continual burnt offering of the Sabbaths, there's the weekly, of the new moons, there's the monthly, and for the set feast, there is the yearly. Now, this is perhaps the most direct passage in the Bible regarding the fact that the Sabbath is not binding on Christians today. He says in verse 14, that the law of Moses ended at the cross, and now in verse 16, he says that means you don't have to observe the yearly feast, you don't have to observe the monthly feast, and you do not have to observe the weekly observance of the Sabbath. It is very direct. And so in verse 17, he says, which, that is, all these things, all these observances, were simply a shadow of things to come, a representation of things that were to come in the New Testament. But now that Christ has come, we no longer look to the shadow, which is the law of Moses, but to the body itself, that is, to the new system of religion, which is found in the New Testament.